right, good evening, everybody. Good to see everybody out. And I want to welcome everybody here to Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. It's a great day to be here, and it's good to be together to worship our God and to grow in Christ. We've got a few announcements this evening, but first I want to welcome you. If you are a first-time visitor, please stop by the Welcome Center, or if you're joining us online, we'd love to connect with you and get to know you better. And as far as announcements go, Easter Sunday is coming up quickly, just a few weeks away. We've got a Good Friday service, March 29th at 7 here, and then service times are normal on Easter Sunday, except there is a 7:30 sunrise service, so let's all be there for that. That'll be a great time. And then Breakfast with the Stars is this Saturday, and I can see it now, at 8:30 a.m. Where's he at? Thanks, Pastor Brett. Yeah, so last week I couldn't see it, and Pastor told me, you know, they were making fun of me that I can't see, and need to get my eyes checked. And so I've never, you know, I've always had perfect vision, you know, so I got my eyes checked and I got glasses ordered, and so, yeah, amen. So, yeah, Breakfast with the Stars this Saturday at Golden Corral in Greenwood. Yes, thank you. Let's move on from that. Oh, man. And then the kids' trip is March 30th. The money is due today. $15 for ages 12 and up, $10 for 12 and under. For that, there's a sign-up sheet between the buildings there. And then a week from tonight is the Hope in Christ Ministry meeting. That'll be after the evening service with Miss Jeanette. If you have any questions, you can see her about that. And then our missionaries of the week are Mark and Rachel Barilla to Cameroon. And they're asking for prayer for, they are renovating their church building. And so asking prayer for that. And they're going to begin furlough in May. So just in a couple months, they'll begin furlough. And they have a coworker there who plans to carry on the ministry and run things while they're gone. And they've had some families move out of the area, and so their church attendance has gone down. And they're asking also for salvation of unsaved regular attendees. And so there's people coming to the church regularly that aren't saved, and so they're just asking that we would pray for those people there. And then also asking prayer for safety and health. They're transitioning to the dry season there in Cameroon, and that often causes respiratory illness, and so we can be praying for them about that. So I'd like to ask the ushers to please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, and Brother Ed, could you pray for the Barillas, the offering, and the service this evening?
Father, we come to you again thanking you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, right now we lift up our missionaries that we support in part all over the world, but Lord, we lift up the Barillas to you as they have these requests, and I pray that you would meet each one according to your blessed will. Give them a great time of furlough as they're away, a relaxing time, and just bless that ministry there. We pray for our service tonight, and that, Lord, that you would be with Pastor Ray as he preaches the Word of God, and Lord, for this offering, bless it now, and help us to use it wisely, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above.
Acapella.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Amen.
and anniversaries this last week. Where's Miss Jeanette? There she is. What happened? Oh, okay. Miss Jeanette had a birthday yesterday, right? 2 days ago, Friday. I guess that was Friday. And how long have you known the Lord as your Savior? 30 years. So if you're wondering how old she is, you could look at pictures on Facebook, I would guess, because they had it plastered all over at the birthday party. But I'm not going to say. Just suffice it to say that Social Security is a little less now. Ouch. Anyone else have a birthday anniversary? Miss Leah, birthday? When was your birthday? Wednesday. And how long have you known the Lord as your Savior? 63 years. Wow, amen. Praise the Lord. That's called eternal security there. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I see fingers pointing. Who are we pointing to? Oh, right up here, Miss JL. Wow, when was your birthday, Miss JL? Thursday. How old are you? 8. And how long have you known Lord, known Jesus? Have you made that decision yet? Not quite yet. Lord's going to take care of that one for you. Anybody else? Birthdays or anniversaries? No anniversaries? I mean, it's not that far from whatever it's called, Valentine's Day. So I hope Jaden's watching because he's got some Valentine's stuff to explain to us when he gets back here. But that's, did I say Jaden? Sorry, Jaden. I do that all the time. DeAndre, he's the one that's in Florida. Nobody else? Let's sing happy birthday to these young folks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Would you bring those keys up on your way up that are right there so that I can mention this? On Wednesday, someone in the pews left these keys. It's a silver ring with 3 keys on them. One of them's like a best lock key, you know, it's one of those kinds of keys. And anyway, all right, there you go. That's all I can do.
Please stand if you're able for tonight's scripture reading of Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, the final address to the final church in Revelation. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May your hearts be sanctified by God's word tonight. You may be seated.
I know y'all just sat down, but we can't just sing this song sitting down. Go ahead and stand as we sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that that ordain the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with good. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne, while all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Let's give him glory.
Glory to creation's God, the source of all that is. Without a word he made the world, and thus the world is his. His greatness shouts from distant stars, his goodness shines as light. Power, splendor,
Jesus is better.
My heart desires to find the prize that truly satisfies. It searches long through wealth for fame, but finds just empty lies. This journey leads to only one who's meant to meet my need. His name is Jesus, King of Kings. Through him I have been freed. Jesus is greater than any wealth achieved. Jesus is brighter than fame received. Jesus is stronger than sin's captivity. Jesus is better. He's all I need. The treasures of this earth bring pleasure, soon to all expire, betraying everyone by leaving unfulfilled desire. But heaven's greatest joy is found in only Jesus Christ. Eternal life is offered now through all he sacrificed. Jesus is greater than any wealth achieved. Jesus is brighter than fame received. Jesus is stronger than sin's captivity. Jesus is better. He's all I need. In Jesus now my heart can rest and lay each weight aside, to run the race he's given and keep him as my only prize. His grace alone sustains me, so I never will resign. To be like him through trial and test and cross the finish line. Jesus is greater than any wealth achieved. Jesus is brighter than fame received. Jesus is stronger than sin's captivity. Jesus is better. He's all I need.
Great singing. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Leslie. Oh, worship the King. So, looking for some testimonies tonight. I'll give you an option for two. All right? So, tell me about somebody you're dealing with salvation. That would be a wonderful testimony. That's kind of where we're focusing right now. I preached, if you remember, in the fall, a series of Salvation Sundays. And, you know, our thoughts are to, you know, make us all aware that there's a lost and dying world around us that needs Jesus. And we are ambassadors, the Bible says, for Christ, and so we can go out and share the gospel. So I would like to hear those. But since praise has been the kind of a theme of the day, it seems, if you have a reason that you would say, this is a reason to praise the Lord, or this is how I've found God to be praiseworthy this last week, I'll allow any of those. Well, you can give whatever testimony you want to give, right? I'm not disallowing any testimony, but looking for those kinds of testimonies. So who'll be first? Miss Amy.
So, I'm going to start out with the praise. Is it on?
It's not on. Is it on?
Okay.
It's on now. There you go.
Okay, I'm going to start off with the praise, and I have shared this already a couple times in church as a prayer request, but my cousin, Dale, has been in the hospital for the past 5 weeks. He's had two heart attacks, a surgery that lasted 5 hours, and 9 days in a coma. And, I thought he was saved. Come to find out, he's not. And so I have been talking to him. Anyway, so that's my praise and my prayer request. But there was a line in that song, Give Him Glory, that said, God has a promise to groaning men. And I am just so thankful that we are all groaning, and definitely my cousin has been groaning for the past 5 weeks in his illness. But I think sometimes of groaning people as also those that are hurting or rebellious, and definitely his family is there. So he has a wife and two children, and their children are not interested in the Lord. Sort of strange. It just reminds me of that verse in Malachi where it talks, they turn their cheek and they shrug their shoulder away from God. And that's where they are. And so I covet your prayers, and I am flinging myself at the feet of Jesus for their salvation. I would ask you to join with me in that prayer as you think about it. Thank you.
Amen. Dale. Anyone else? Kempton just got back from Florida and got to see at least DeAndre. I don't know if you saw any of the other kids, but
we did.
Yeah.
Two things real quick. We're praying for salvation for my niece, Jeanette. She found out about a month ago she's got cancer. A lot of spots in her body. And it's kind of making its way through there. So, I guess one of my praises would be to Robert, who's encouraged me to kind of nail it down. She's texted me saying she's given it to God, but she got a 2-year-old boy and an 18-year-old boy. So we're praying for her with that. And the other thing was, I think the blessing out of our trip was getting down there. We got down there, left Tuesday morning about 7, got there Tuesday night about 8. We heard something in the back end of the car, didn't sound right. So literally right across from the street was a auto shop, tire shop. Took it over there first thing in the morning, needed brakes and rotors on the back. Not a big deal. We got it back Wednesday. Spent Wednesday and Thursday at the beach. We managed to go to the Wednesday night service at Pensacola. I will say it's a little bigger than IBC. wasn't expecting the, I think the biggest thing tonight was the kids. To see, I'm not sure if they said it, the church held 7,000, but they got their own security as you go in because the church is open to the public also. So they had 3 baptized that night for the service, including a 9-year-old little girl. So the one thing is that we got a kick out of was Thursday night we was able to eat supper with Owen, Hayden, Maria, and DeAndre. at Whataburger. If you guys never ate Whataburger, they're really good. And the kick we got of it was when they took our order and asked us for a name, she knew DeAndre's name. So she didn't have to ask for a name for the thing. She said, I've been here 3 nights to see. And then the other thing, some of the kids didn't recognize us, but we recognized them. Hayden was in one of the videos from VBS with their Keeper of the Kingdom shirt on.
Nice.
And she had Grant when we was here. So I think my praise would be to the church and just the church family. It's just we're getting to know everybody, but meeting with the kids was really neat. We had a very, very good time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. Anybody else? Miss Anna? Let's stay over here first, all right? Brother Chuck?
I'll give a plug for the nursing home ministry. If you are struggling to find someone to witness to or ministry to be involved with, come to the nursing home. Anybody can do it. And I had an opportunity last week to sit with a man, Stephen, and talk with him. And I'm not sure of his salvation. He said he's saved, but as I asked some questions, he just wasn't able to give me clear answers. He would answer yes to my questions, but I'm not sure he knew. So, but he gave me an open door to come back and see him, and so I'll be getting back and visiting with him. But just an opportunity to share the gospel with people in there, and boy, just show them Christ, show them love, and they're happy to have you in there. So we could always use more helpers in our nursing home ministry, and we'll talk to me if you're interested in doing that.
Tell us about the funerals that you had an opportunity to do.
An opportunity to preach two funerals this week, one on Wednesday. It was a shame. I was hoping to preach. You know, I got two funerals. Okay, two funerals in the same week. I'll just preach the same message twice. Two different families. That's great. No problem, right? So the first one, the mother-in-law of a friend of mine, a coworker, had died last week. A week before, and they were mourning and grieving, and the body was there, and so the message was God would comfort them and that sort of thing. Well, the funeral I did on yesterday, she had died in January. She was cremated, and it was more of a family get-together than it was a funeral. It wasn't sad, so I couldn't really encourage them in God weeping with you and crying with you, but I was able to make them think about eternity, and so I had to just change the whole message, but it was good. I was able to give the gospel both times, and it was a blessing, and Pastor talked me through some of it, so I needed that encouragement.
Amen. Brother Jeff?
I have a woman that was a co-worker of mine for about 30 years, and over the years I've witnessed to her, but to no avail. And now we meet for lunch once a month, and I gave her my son's book, and so that's raised a lot of questions in her mind about the end times and about what's happening now in the world. So I witnessed to her again, and I think I'm getting close. So if you would pray for her, her name is Brenda.
Brenda, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Miss Anna, I haven't forgotten you. Coming your way.
This one's kind of hard for me. I grew up in a church much like this. And when I was a kid, you know, many moons ago, door-to-door soul winning was still a very common practice. Every church in my church circle had Thursday night visitation, and everybody went. My friend and I would go out door-to-door together, and just, I was scared to death, but you know me, I like to talk, and I would talk to people, ask them if they knew the Lord as their Savior, and over time, I think part of it's just getting older, getting busier, not being in the same church and not going, it just kind of became harder. And now in our society, you know, I'm scared to death to go to doors unannounced and uninvited, I guess. And so it's easy to kind of get away from that. And just full transparency here, it's not hard for me to tell somebody how good God's been to me. It's not hard for me to tell somebody that he's my Savior and I love him, but it's hard for me to find a way to witness to them. And I've been convicted about that. And so the other side of that is that I'm afraid to ask, because if I ask God to open doors, he's gonna open lots of them, and it's gonna get harder for Anna. But I've been trying to be a little more open to the Spirit's nudging. I always think about that verse that says, you know, he'll knock and knock, and then he'll stop. And I want him to use me. Sorry. So about a week ago, I went to the store. I was picking up a few things, and Brooke was there. She was working, and some of my friends were there. And so I stayed a little longer and started chatting. And Brooke made a joke, and this sweet little lady was standing there, and we ended up talking. And we talked for probably 20 minutes, and I looked at her, and we even walked outside together. And we were standing outside, we just couldn't stop talking. And the Lord said, Anna, you need to ask her. You need to ask her if she knows me. And I thought, well, this will be easy, you know, because I know the answer. And so I did. I said, I just have to know. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? And she got the biggest smile, and she goes, oh, honey, I'd be lost without him. And so we had a sweet time of fellowship. And while it wasn't exactly a chance to give the gospel, it was a step in the right direction for me, a step of obedience.
Amen.
And this week, I had, for the first time in a long time, the Lord lay somebody specific on my heart. And I'm trying to think of ways that I can share the gospel with this person who desperately needs to know the Lord, somebody that I care about very much. And I guess I just get excited when we see each other, and I just want to chat and talk, and I think, Anna, you're in her life for this purpose. So anyway, that's what I have to share.
Amen. Ray and Carol Stapert, by the way, came to know Christ through door-to-door visitation. That's somebody in our church. I don't know if anybody else did, but I know about their testimony. Anybody else? All right. If you would, remember a couple of people in your prayers, and then we'll go to prayer and ask the Lord to bless our service, but our message. But Dan Dennison went home kind of sick today. He's sick. I mean, Dan's sick, if you understand this. I mean, he's got congestive heart failure. That's not going away. He's on medicine, and that's created a pulmonary fibrosis, which is a building of a fiberish stuff in your lungs, which creates a difficulty for him to breathe. You know, he's got a defibrillator, all that kind of stuff in there. So he's struggling. So today he went home. He's home, probably watching. I don't know if he's watching or not. He probably is. Hi, Brother Dan. You can get mad at me later. Anyway, so pray for him, if you would, you know. And, you know, I just remind us, you know, some people show signs of the fact that this sin-cursed world is taking its effect upon our bodies, and some people don't. But everybody, right, everybody's heading the same direction, right? All of us heading the same direction. So make sure that you know Christ and get that settled. And then I was at the hospital this afternoon with Monica Stratton, and she is definitely taking a downward turn. You know, she's still able to, she's still responsive, but she's not creating conversation anymore. You know, she'll respond if you ask her. She's in a lot of pain, which she hasn't had before, and it's really getting, you know, difficult for Mark and Samantha just to kind of watch, which is all you can do at this point. So a lot of decisions can be made probably this next week. A lot of things happening. So if you'd remember them specifically in your prayers, a couple other things, give you some updates. Miss Pat, you know, she texted me this morning, or yesterday, I can't remember which it was, and said that she's doing much better. Praise the Lord. Thanks the Lord for the church prayers, and she's able to breathe much better. And so that's gotten better for her. On this Thursday, this upcoming Thursday, Miss Brenda Maurer should have surgery on her elbow. She fell and broke her elbow. It's been almost 2 weeks now, a week and a half, and so, but she has brittle bones, and so they had to go to multiple specialists to figure out who could actually do this surgery to get that back to work. She's in a lot of pain as well, so just continue to pray for her. Seems like there was some, Miss Kay Bonham, still I haven't heard. Anybody have an update on Kay the last 3 days? So she's just waiting to get into the doctors to see about this surgery and the follow-up with that to try and get rid of the cancer. There's a small spot of cancer on her pancreas. That's serious, but where this is and the fact they've caught it early, they feel comfortable about being able to remove the cancer. She has other health issues that aren't going to go away with the cancer, but they think, anyway, that they can get the cancer cured. So pray for her and wisdom and all those kinds of things. So anyway, all those things are here. So we're going to be in John. You can turn to your Bibles to the book of John. And we'll have a word of prayer and then jump into our Bible study. Father, I thank you so much for the wonderful, sweet testimonies, the burden that you're placing upon the hearts of our people, for the souls of those around us. God, I pray that we would wrestle in our sleep, that we would wrestle in our souls at work, at school, as we see people and your Holy Spirit is nudging us and pushing us, that we would not just say no, that, Lord, we would understand and hear that still small voice and respond to it and be a witness and be a testimony. We bring these before you that have been mentioned tonight and pray that you would do a work of grace before it's eternally too late, that you would just convince them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of your love for their soul, and that they would be willing to accept your Son as Savior. Give boldness and courage to each one of us, and as we study together tonight, help us to grow in your grace, and we'll thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know what it is. I just picked it up off the front pew over there by Chuck, so it looks like a tiny green marker. If that belongs to somebody, it doesn't belong to me. That's all I know. So just picking it up. All right, we're in the book of John. So we're doing our harmony study. And one of the things, if you noticed, is we started out in John chapter 1, you know, in the beginning, God, and that's kind of where the whole thing starts. But then, ever since then, John's kind of been left out of the mix. But now tonight, we have a couple of events that happen and are recorded only in the book of John as we're coming to the life of Jesus. So the first one is, as John the Baptist, we're in John chapter 1, verse 19, as John the Baptist has now baptized Jesus and those things are taking place, and now he's going to begin to be questioned, right? The people come up to question him, and they begin to ask him questions about his ministry, and who are you? And John chapter 1, verse 19 says this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And they're trying to figure out just who he is. They're trying to know, is he the Messiah? Is he somebody else? Etc., etc. In verse 23, John answers, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." So, you know, he says, you know, I am the forerunner of Christ, is what he is literally telling them, announcing to them. I'm here to prepare the way of the Lord. And verse 25, 26, 27, it says, "And they asked him, and he said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you, whom ye know not." And that's an interesting thing to say right there, right? Especially in light of what we've just been talking about here. Hear me out. Is Jesus in the lives of all these people we've just mentioned that we're witnessing to? Is he already a part of their life? He's among us, right? He is. He's standing at the door and knocking. You know, Jesus is already there. The issue is not whether Jesus is there. The issue is that they don't know him, And our job is to introduce them. Our job is, you know, much like John the Baptist, to make straight the way so that they can deal with Jesus. And verse 27 says, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." You say, we already read that, Pastor John. We did. But now he's talking to the priests and Levites here as they've come to begin to question him about his ministry. And John gives us this account. It's a longer account, but I'm just kind of hitting the highlights of it as we look at it, because what we want to do is move on. Now, Christ has been baptized, and we're at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So what is the first thing? Did I remember? Don't cheat. What is the first thing that happens in the ministry of Jesus Christ? The water and the wine, the marriage of Cana, right? This is the first thing, really. I mean, he's been baptized. It's like he's ready to begin his earthly ministry. And at least the first recorded thing, all right? I understand that the Bible says, I'm going to paraphrase this, but it says something like this. If everything that Jesus said and did were written down, the world couldn't hold the books, right? I understand that there's stuff that we don't know, right? But this is the first recorded thing. So here we are, and still in John chapter, now we're in John chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at this marriage feast. So this is an interesting story, and I'm going to tell you right up front, I can't give you all of the answers But we'll just read the story. In verse 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Now, so Mary is called as a guest, that's what it means, invited. Jesus is invited, and all of his disciples are invited. I don't know the whys of all of that, how they all got on that list together, because quite honestly, you know, they're really not hanging out that much yet, right? And this is all just starting out. But anyway, so here we are, and we don't know which of the disciples are all there, whatever. But anyway, and they wanted, or they needed, they lacked, that's what that word wanted, wine. The mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now, if I stopped right there, if that's what you read, Jesus says, "Mine hour is not yet come," how do you, what do you conclude from that statement? What would you conclude? Yeah, they weren't going to do anything. Hey, this is, it's not my time to do this yet, right? And so he says, "Mine hour is not yet come." That's what he says, right? I can't explain how that translates in all of this scenario. But here's what Mary does. His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith to do, do it." Now, I want you to catch this, all right? She wasn't arguing with Jesus. "Jesus, you got to do this," right? She is literally just simply going to trust what she knows about this son of hers, this future savior of the world of hers, right? This is what she's just going to... So she knows what he's capable of. That's clear in this story. She knows that he can do whatever needs to be done. And she's content to allow his will to be played out here, right? She's content with that. Whatever he says to do, just do it. And you know, she's basically saying, "You can trust him too. Come on, just do whatever he says." Now, based on the previous verse, I would have thought Jesus would have said, "Okay, well, my hour's not yet come, so we're leaving, see you later," and just left it at that. So, is Jesus honoring Mary? What is Jesus doing here? The Bible doesn't really tell us. It really doesn't. Jesus just goes ahead, and he's about to do his very first publicly recorded miracle. You're about to see it take place. So while he says, "Mine hour is not yet come," you know, a few moments later, it seems that his hour has come, because he says, verse 6, "There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it." So he says, you know, serve everybody out of those water pots that you've just filled. What did they fill them with? Water. No question that they filled them with water, right? I mean, there's a miracle that's about to take place. There's no question that they filled them with water. Jesus says, serve everybody, out of this, and they bear it. "Now when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew," the governor of the feast knew, "and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good until now." And then it goes on, verse 11 says, "This is the beginning of miracles. This, the beginning of miracles, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples," look at what it says, "his disciples believed on him." So this begins to take place, and the reaction isn't the word I'm looking for, but I'll use it. The reaction of the people is that they believe on Christ. By the way, this is an important thing about miracles. I want you to catch this. Miracles in the Scripture are still all about Jesus. You understand? They're not about people. I mean, just, you know, when that's one of the problems that we have with the healing type of ministries, where you know, if we're not careful, we're looking to a person instead of looking to Jesus, you know. The result is that these people believed in Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things that you can ask yourself. I'm the biggest thing and the biggest issue that I have with this passage of Scripture is not the wine. It is the fact that Jesus kind of says something that makes me think he's not going to do it, and then he does it. You know, it's like, my hour's not yet come. Why are you talking to me about this? You know, what do I have to do with you? My hour's not yet come. And Mary just, it's important to note, Mary doesn't get offended. Mary doesn't exercise her parental authority here, right? She doesn't pull rank on Jesus. She simply says, whatever he says, just do it. And she's going to trust Jesus with the situation. And I personally believe Jesus is honoring Mary in this, to just simply say, to let Mary know, you know, this is how much I love you. And, of course, he wants to get the disciples to believe on him in a greater fashion, so that's going to be the result of this. Now, I'm going to just say this just because it bears saying, it's worth saying. See, Pastor, we can drink wine. And I'm going to say this. Any wine Jesus serves you, feel free to drink. Do you understand? But I'm going to say this one more time so that everybody can hear it. You, not me, this, the burden's not on me. You know, I don't have to prove anything to you. You're the one that has to do the proving here. You got to figure out the definition of wine. Because here's what the Bible says. When it's red and moves in the glass, you're not even allowed to look at it. Look not on the wine when it's red and moveth in the glass. Oh. So I can't look at that wine, but I can drink wine. I'm going to tell you again, any wine Jesus makes, feel free to drink. Because I'm telling you, it's not what you and I think of as wine. I can have this argument with you forever, but the Bible says this, woe unto the man that giveth his neighbor strong drink. That's what the Bible says. You're the one that has to deal with that. I don't. Here's what I know. I don't drink at all. To my knowledge, I've never taken a drink of alcohol. To my knowledge. I say to my knowledge because I'm, you know, I don't know if somebody's done something. I have a feeling they've never have because I'm, you know, I would assume that since I don't drink, that if I did one drink, that it would, I'd probably notice it. You know, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. But you know what I've never also been? I've never been drunk. I've never had to explain my behavior because I wasn't acting right and thinking right and speaking right because I was under the influence of something. You know, all of those things I'm protected from. And it's really simple. It's just really simple. So I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things. Here's what the Bible says. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And they who are deceived thereby, right? You understand? Your argument is not with me. It's just not. But I am content to stand before my God having never taken a drink. Are you confident in what you're thinking on this? Because I am confident that I will stand before God, and I always ask people this question. How many drinks you want your doctor to take before he cuts you open? You know what the answer to that is? Zero. You know why? Because everybody knows alcohol affects the way you think and the way you react. Everybody knows it. We're not idiots here. Everybody knows it. It doesn't make you better at anything. It doesn't make you a better doctor. It doesn't make you a better driver. It doesn't make you a better father. It doesn't make you a better husband. And it doesn't make you a better Christian. So the idea that God would encourage us to drink something that doesn't make me better in any of those things doesn't make sense. If science is right, and by the way, not just science, if the drunk down the street is right, it makes me more likely to give in to temptation. That makes no sense. This is not what God would have us to do, right? And lead us not into I mean, what are we doing to ourselves here, right? How can you pray that prayer if that's what we're doing? It's like, God, help me not to sin while I'm looking at pornography. That doesn't make any sense. You understand? That's the same concept. Okay, I'll get off of it. I said I wasn't going to preach on that, and then I did. But anyway, there you go. Let's move on, because that is his first miracle. Now, we have his first act in ministry. Anybody dare to look at see what that one is? This is how Jesus starts out his ministry. Take a look at it. We're still in John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers sitting, and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small... Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was a ministry of love. I mean, isn't that the whole idea, right? For God so loved the world. In fact, in the very next chapter, that's where this verse is found. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But this is the story where Jesus takes a whip and drives out those people who are misrepresenting his father. And he drives out the money changers, right? And he pours out the money and overturns the tables. And he says, take these things hence, verse 16, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Whew. Wow. John gives testimony about Jesus. Jesus goes to the wedding of Cana. Jesus goes to the temple and drives people out. I mean, I have a feeling Jesus has gotten a lot of people's attention at this point, right? He just did this miracle, and now here he is. By the way, it is important probably to note that the miracle added authority, earthly speaking, to what was about to take place, to prove that he had the authority to do what he's about to do. But I want you to catch something. This is important. Do you know that the people who Jesus rebuked harshly were all of the same ilk? Who were they? Say it again? The religious leaders. The scribes, the Pharisees, hypocrites, whited sepulchers, vipers. I mean, he lets them have it because they are misrepresenting. But to the sinner, he says, come, let's eat lunch. To the sinner, he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, I'm not saying everybody's sinners, right? We're all sinners. But these are people who know better. They're trained. If I can say this, these are Bible college students, you know? I mean, they are. These people are trained in the things of God, and they are abusing what God... I grew up in the era of Channel 40, right? And around here, so I would say Channel 40 preachers. There's no channel. I don't know. Does Channel 40 even exist anymore? I have no idea. But Channel 40 used to be like the Christian station. WHMB, right? Everybody remembers that. And Lester Roloff, and Lester Summerall. I mean, Lester Summerall. And maybe remember Lester Summerall, and all those guys were on there. And some of them were decent preachers. I'm not suggesting they were all, you know, snake oil salesmen. But most of them were. And they were misrepresenting the God of the Bible. And I often thought if Jesus were on this earth, he would walk into those, you know, television stations and overturn the cameras. And because I can't say that he didn't have patience. Because you know what he's doing with those guys? You know what Jesus did for Pharisees? He stood at the door and knocked. Because God so loved the world, includes the Pharisees. This is not about his love or lack thereof for anybody. It is about his insistence that his father's house, that his father be represented rightly, especially by people who should know better. Remember when he's talking to John in John chapter 3, or to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, right? You know, he's shocked. No, he's not. Jesus isn't shocked, but he's presenting this. He says, what? you're a father of Israel and you don't know these things? Remember, because he says you must be born again. How can a man be born? And Jesus is like, how do you not know this? Have you not read the Old Testament? Hello. It talks about all of this. And you know, he holds them accountable to the knowledge that they have. And that's what you're seeing played out here. So it's a series of firsts. As you know, John is first confronted with the religious leaders. Then Jesus goes to the wedding of Cana, where he does the first miracle. Then Jesus goes to the temple and overturns the table of the money changers. And that's the beginning of his earthly ministry in John, chapter 1 and 2. As we put these stories together in somewhat chronological order in our minds, this is where we are. Jesus' ministry has started, and everybody has heard of Jesus at this point. Everybody. He turned water into wine, and he had the audacity to challenge the religious leaders in the temple. And God's about to use Jesus in his earthly ministry as he prepares him for becoming our Savior. So, heads bowed, eyes closed, please, for just a moment. A lot of things for us to consider. I'm not going to ask you about wine. This is going to be between you and the Lord on that one, I'm just telling you. But I do want to talk to you, you know, as we learn from John and Jesus. Are you willing, like Mary, are you willing to trust Jesus completely? Jesus almost sounds harsh and rebuking to Mary. Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And Mary, without being offended, says, I'm going to trust you, Jesus. Whatever he says to do, do it. And sometimes life's hard, and sometimes the answers God gives us aren't always what we wanted to hear. And sometimes it's difficult for us to not bristle when the pastor stands up and quotes a passage, or when some friend comes along and says, have you read this passage of Scripture? And they're making an application to something that's taking place in our life, and we don't like the answer. But let's learn from Mary, who says, whatever he says, just do it. We can trust him. We can trust him. That's huge. And then the second thing I want you to consider is, would we fall into the category of those who are misrepresenting our Father in heaven? Because we have allowed the world to dictate how we approach the things of God. Jesus would be strongly rebuking much of what's taking place in our world today in the name of his Father. And we don't want to fall into that category. Help our worship to be genuine. Help our service to be motivated by love for him. And anything less puts us tenuously close to being a Pharisee. Father, help us, Lord, to live out by faith, like Mary, the life that you've called us to live, to be genuine and not plastic, to be truly representatives of your salvation on this earth, and not to misrepresent our Father which is in heaven. Help us to learn from this beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ here on this earth. And Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing
223, Take Time to Be Holy.
Take time to be holy. As we sing it together, you step out, let the Lord have his way, would you?
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children.
Amy, what was that song phrase again? That I liked that.
Yeah.
Groaning.
He made a promise that one
to groaning men, right? Yeah, to groaning. I like that. Listen, here's what I want to say. You know, he made a promise to groaning men. And sometimes, folks, the reason we don't get answers to prayer, because we're not groaning. You understand? We're not groaning. We're not burdened by it. We literally ask almost as if, Lord, if you do it, okay. If you don't, okay. Doesn't matter. But it's groaning men that get the answers. Remember the lady who was importune? She just wouldn't stop and wouldn't stop and wouldn't stop and wouldn't stop. And did I say she wouldn't stop? And that's the one that God responds to, groaning men. Anything else I'm supposed to be announcing? Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. Love you all. God bless you. You are dismissed.